Sukkah, Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalet, 2-4. This Mishnah covers a variety of different topics. The first is wrapping up the topic of the trees in the Sukkah. So we already established previously that you can't have a tree over your Sukkah. That would ruin the Sechach. In the previous Mishnah, we said you can't have a tree supporting your Sukkah's floor. And if you do, while the Sukkah might be kosher, you may not go into that Sukkah on Yom Tov or Shabbos because of the Isser Midrabanan of getting benefit from a tree. Here our Mishnah says, Ha'osa Sukkaso Bein Ha'ilanos. If you set up your Sukkah amongst the trees, that is to say that Vahilanos Defanos La, that the trees are serving as the walls for the Sukkah. So this is not a halacha in Defanos per se or of Schach per se, meaning we're going to have Defanos that are satisfactory to meet the requirements of a Dof and a Sukkah. And the Schach, again, can't have trees overhanging, etc. But the point here our mission wants to address is, may trees that are attached to the ground serve as the walls of your Sukkah? And the answer is yes, Ksher, the Mishnah says no problem. And the Havamina is that since we already established that there's an Isser Durabana making use of a tree on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you might have thought there'd be concern, let's say, if the wall of your Sukkah was this giant sequoia tree, so you might, you know, put something inside a notch in the tree or hang your hat on a branch coming out of the tree or something like that. But Kamash Malan, we see from our Mishnah, that's not a concern. There's no concern that if the walls of your Sukkah include a tree, that you might come to use the tree and therefore be restricted. No, no such restriction. Okay, now the Mishnah goes on to a new topic altogether. And this is a topic actually we saw once before back in the beginning of Maseches Brachos. And it addresses the principle of Ha'osek B'mitzvahs. Osek b'mitzvah, pater mina mitzvos. If someone is osek, he is involved in the performance of one mitzvah, so he is pater, he is exempt from fulfilling other mitzvahs. The context we saw back in Brachos was if one had, say, a mitzvah to do, like, for example, to bury a dead person, no one else there to bury that person, and you're involved in the burial, so then one would be exempt from saying Shema the whole time he was involved with the burial. The basis of that principle, the general principle of Osek B'mitzvah Pater Mina Mitzvos, is from Kriya Shema itself, where the Pasuk says, B'shivtecha B'veisecha, in your sitting down in your house, and the drasha is, it's when you're at your own leisure doing sitting in your home, that's when you're obligated to do a mitzvah, like Kriya Shema. But if you're not in your own time, you're already serving Hashem, actively involved in some other mitzvah, you'd be exempt from, in that story there, Kriya Shema, and that would apply to other mitzvahs as well. That's a mamatzino. So that means anytime one is involved in one mitzvah, so then he's exempt from other mitzvahs, and that's going to be applying over here as well when it comes to the mitzvah of Sukkah. That's what the mitzvah says. The Mishnah says here, it says, Shluchei mitzvah, if people have been sent to carry out some kind of mitzvah. So for example, they're now on a mission to go and save some, Jews have been captive, held captive or something like that. Or even a person, for that matter, who's going to visit his Rebbe on Sukkot and so on, you're involved in doing some mitzvah. So while you're on the go, patur min ha-sukkah, you're exempt from the mitzvah of Sukkah. In other words, one mitzvah at a time. Now, there's a pretty fundamental machlokas regarding the scope of this patur, this exemption. According to Rashi, who had the bartender learns like, it's in general that one is required to do one mitzvah at a time, and if he's involved in the mitzvah, let's say, of traveling over several days to go do this mitzvah. So even at night, when he is resting and not traveling on the go, since he needs to rest up for tomorrow and so on, that's sort of at least part of the mitzvah. According to Rashi, there's no obligation for him to go now, go out of his way to sleep in an uncomfortable sukkah or to seek out and build a sukkah and so on and so forth. He's exempt. If he has no sukkah handy, so he's exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah because he's on a mission on his way to go carry out his mitzvah. According to Tosfos and others, it's not as easy as that. Meaning, as long as one, the fulfillment of the second mitzvah doesn't mess up your first mitzvah, like for example in the case of resting in the evening, so you're not traveling in the nighttime, you're resting. So therefore at that point it would kick in, you'd have to find yourself a sukkah to sleep in, etc. Because you're not involved in it right now, and it's not messing you up immediately. So that is Tosos' approach, and many other Rishonim as well. The Shulchan Aruch goes lakula, like Rashi, and how the Bartender learns here, meaning that In general, if one is involved in a mitzvah, he's exempt from other mitzvahs, period. The Ramah does point out, however, that if one could fulfill both mitzvahs, then he certainly must. So if you have a sukkah handy, and the sukkah is not going to mess you up in terms of your rest for the night, so everyone's going to agree at that point, you have to sleep in the sukkah. Now with the din l'halacha, you have to sleep inside the sukkah as well. And lastly, on this point of the osek b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah, it has to be that a person is actually somehow osek. He's involved in mitzvah fulfillment. One couldn't, for argument's sake, say, you know, I'm wearing my tzitzis now. That's a mitzvah, so I'm patur from the other mitzvahs. No, because wearing the tzitzis is passive, and he's not osek in the mitzvah of tzitzis. Okay, now the Mishnah goes on to say a new point here, which is cholin, people who are sick, umisham she'en, as well as people who are attending to the sick person, patur min sukkah, they're exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. There is two separate exemptions here, in fact. The second, the misham shehen, the attendants to the unwell person, they're exempt. That's for the reason we just stated before, that they're osik b'mitzvah. There's a mitzvah midoraisa of doing chesed. It's a mitzvah of v'yavta recha kamocha. And therefore, if one is attending to the sick, he's fulfilling a mitzvah doraisa, and therefore, if that's his charge, he's exempt from being the sukkah, so he can attend to whoever he's taking care of. As far as the chola himself, the person who's unwell, so we're not talking about a person who is sick in any way where there's a potential risk to life. Obviously, whenever that's the case, if even a case of suffic pikuach nefesh, then all bets are off, and one may essentially abrogate all the mitzvahs, with certain exemptions, but in general, certainly a sukkah would not be a consideration. The point of our mission here is that there's a special exemption for someone who is sick, and in truth, someone who in general is mitzta'er, who is uncomfortable when it comes to the fulfillment of the mitzvah sukkah, because the sukkah, the mandate for sukkah says, besukos teshvu, you shall dwell in sukkos, and Chazal darshan from that word teshvu, that you will dwell in sukkah, it's teshvu ke'en taduru, as we said before, you will dwell in your sukkah the same way you dwell inside your home, and that's sort of the overarching mandate to live in the sukkah and how one should live in the sukkah. So that means, on the one hand, one certainly must do the things that he does in his privacy of his home in the sukkah, like eating and sleeping. But on the flip side, if he's in a situation of tsar, of discomfort, to the point that he would leave his home or relocate because it's inconvenient for him over there, so then certainly he's also equally exempt from sukkah. So for example, if a person had a headache, that's the case of our Mishnah here. So certainly, if the lights were on in your house and you couldn't turn them off and you had a headache and the lights were bothering you, you would leave that room or leave that home and find another place to rest because the lights were exacerbating your headache. So similarly, if a person's in a sukkah and he has a headache and the lights bothering him or the noises bother him, whatever it is bothering him, so he is exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. But again, this exemption is further reaching than illness. Like for example, if the smell in the sukkah bothers a person, he's allowed to leave. If it's dripping, like from rain in the sukkah, certainly if a person were sitting at his dinner table any day of the year and the ceiling was dripping and his food was getting wet and ruined and dripping on his head and bothering him, he certainly would find another place to eat if he could. So similarly, at that point, a person would be allowed and in fact supposed to leave the sukkah as a mitzta'er. And in fact, being inside the sukkah while you're a bitzar, if you're a mitzvah, there's no point to it. You're not fulfilling any mitzvah whatsoever. You're totally exempt. So the chol of the sick person as well, if he's in a state of tzar, where he's uncomfortable in the sukkah, he should relocate, and there's no good reason for him to stick around. Okay. Now the final part of the Mishnah says, Ochlin v'shosin arai chutz l'sukkah. One may eat and drink in a casual manner outside of the sukkah. Now, Abai in the Gemara gives an illustration of this. He says, like, for example, a student who's rushing off to go listen to a shiur, he doesn't want to be hungry in the shiur, so he has a quick mouthful of food and a quick drink to wash it down, to tide him over until he comes back from the shiur. Now, the poskim, the mefarshim, are split exactly on what the gedarim, the parameters are there for what we call arai, for casual eating. Some understand that we're focused on simply the quantity of food, and some also understand that it's also going to be tied to the type of food you're eating, snack foods. Now, lahalacha, it's going to come out that me'ikra din, many say that one could eat even bread less than a kibetza outside of the sukkah, because that's a snack quantity of food. Halacha lamaisa lamaisa, the Mishabura says when it comes to food made of the chameshas mine dagon, the five types of grain, the kind of things we say mazonos on, or hamotzi on, with the exception of rice. So those must be eaten in the sukkah, whereas things that are not from the chameshas mine dagon, they may be eaten outside the sukkah. When it comes to fruits, since fruits are always just sort of intrinsically sort of a snacky food, one could eat fruits in any quantity. There are those who are strict when it comes to eating foods that are not necessarily snack foods, like meat and cheese and eggs and so on, which are not fruits, but not, you know, bread and grain-based. If one is permitted to eat large quantities, meaning larger than a kibbutz and eggs amounts or not outside the sukkah, the din is mikra din. Mishnah Berurah says, yes, one may. As we'll see in the next Mishnah, more on that topic regarding eating outside the sukkah.